All right, basically this one's going to be very similar to the last talk, except we're going to focus on the PM10 and we're going to skip a lot of the introductions. So we talked about this head right here a while ago, and this is primarily used in our test for the PM2.5, but we can use it to get an estimate of PM10. If we're going through and we're looking at PM10, we've got to use 3 samples out of the 4 that we collect in order to get this PM10 concentration. The other head we would use looks very similar to this. It's got the same PM10 head. It just doesn't have the PM2.5 cyclone behind that. With this sampler head, we would have basically 3 different samples. We'd have the filter, we'd have the wash of the back half, which is a tube going down to the cyclone head, and the wash down this area. That would be our back half of that sampler. And then we have the front half, which is basically the outside of the cyclone and the collection pot that's there. So we have 3 different samples that we would get from that methodology. If we're looking at PM10 concentrations, we're only going to be using the filter and the wash from the back half of that PM10 cyclone. We're not concerned about this one up here for our PM10 concentrations. If we're looking at our total concentrations, then yes, we would weigh this sample here and add that to the mass. Our collection efficiency curve, very similar to what we saw before. We have an envelope that we have to be within. This one's going to be 9 microns plus or minus, or 10 microns plus or minus 1 micron. Okay, that's different than our ambient air samplers. Our ambient air sampler is going to be 10 plus or minus 0.5. One of the things I'm trying to show here, and you guys have probably seen this before, is with this efficiency envelope, it allows me to have very wide range of slopes that are acceptable for that sampler. I could have a perfect cut, like John and I were talking about a while ago, to where I only collect stuff less than 10 microns. Or I could come over here and have a slope of 1.9. Okay, that's pretty significant for this standard compared to the ambient air samplers. Method 17, same thing as we talked about before, isokinetics on this one is going to be 100 plus or minus 10%. For this test, basically because we can go through and we can use that PM2.5 sampler head and ignore the 2.5, we can get a 10 micron concentration off of that. So that allows us to increase our total number of tests that we can conduct for PM10. For this one, we had a total of 438 runs from 6 different geographical regions. And that's going to be important in some of the stuff that Derek's going to talk about here in just a few minutes. Again, we have a number of reports that are here for the PM10 stack sampling. These technical reports, there's over 4,000 pages of information there for you to read at your leisure. Again, sampling criteria, same thing as before. These things right here have to take place in order for a run to be acceptable. Okay? These things down here are things that we can debate back and forth on whether or not we allow that information to stand. And that's one of the things that we'll probably end up doing with our advisory groups. Like I said, we have a couple of cyclones that we tested that aren't a typical design. Do we keep them? Do we chunk them? We have some inlet velocity issues that are too high, some that are too low. Do we keep them? Do we chunk them? System configuration. I think for the most part, we worked with the gen associations and the gen managers, and we have most of those taken care of. But we still have a couple of stragglers. We go back through and we look at this again, trying to summarize all that information. If we look at our EPA approved test methodology, we ended up with a PM10 emission factor of 0.987 for a typical gen. If I look at the AP42 numbers, that was 0.817. So from the EPA approved methodology, we actually got numbers that were higher than what was in AP42. We figured we were going to be very close to this number when we started this test. I think we had a lot of folks hoping that that number would be quite a bit lower. What we look at, if you look at the difference, we're about 20% higher than the EPA method, or EPA AP42, using EPA's methodologies. So if we come back here, one of the things that we've debated on is once we get this information, do we merge that with AP42, or does it stand on its own? Is AP42 old enough that information is pushed out and this data is only used now as the new AP42? And one of the things I want to point out here, we're going to increase in the number of data sets significantly. So if you look at the first stage of seed cotton cleaning, we had 14 tests that we could use. In AP42, there were only 5 tests. If we combine the AP42 and the test, we end up with a total of 19 tests. Is that the way we need to go in the end? Or does this information stand alone by itself? If we merge the test data with the AP42, then our emission factor for the typical gen is going to be 0.926, which means that's about 13% higher than what the current AP42 is. When we go back through and we look at this, this chart's basically going to look at the difference between your OTM-27 method, which has the PM2.5 head and the PM10 head, the one with only the PM10 head, and then using the method 17 with the PSD. For the most part, when you look at this, you'll see that the either one of the EPA-approved methodologies is going to be higher than the particle size. There's going to be some of these that when you look at them, they're a little bit different. You know, you're looking at this one thinking, well, why in the world would just using the PM10 head give you higher results than using the one that had the 2.5 behind? Probably what happened here is for one of our high emitting sources, we had to throw out one of the PM10 runs because it didn't meet the cut point criteria. So that's probably why that shifted down. But if you see across here, typically, again, our method 17 coupled with the particle size is going to be lower, which leads me into this table here, that if I look at our data from our particle size analysis, we see that that PM10 emission factor is 0.66. I compare that back to my EPA-approved sampling methodologies, which was 0.987, compared back to AP42, which was 0.82. That tells me if I look at the difference between my particle size data and my EPA-approved sampling methodologies, I'm going to see about a 33% reduction. So there's 33% difference between using EPA-approved methodologies here and using the EPA-approved method 17 coupled with the particle size analysis. Okay. The difference right here, we're saying, is attributed to those stack sampling errors. So if I go back in and I look at the difference between my particle size analysis and the AP42, I show that I'm about 20% lower. Now, if I use just my test methodology, compare that to AP42, I'm 20% higher than AP42. Okay? So the next battle that we have, probably for PM10, is to go back in and fight the stack sampling error issue so that we can start using this particle size analysis, which is happening in Texas today. I mean, that's the way we're going in Texas. So this graph right here was to show you how all this data kind of lumped together. In the blue, that's going to be method 17 coupled with the particle size analysis. The green is going to be the average of our EPA-approved testing methodologies. And these red bars here, that's data based on the current AP42. We did this to give you an idea of the range of information that's out there that we're using right now. For our lint cleaners, right there, if we look at the average that we use in AP42, it's higher than anything that we got out of our test. But the thing that sticks out is that the range that they had that made up that average was massive. Okay? Our data is a lot tighter than what we had making up the current AP42. You'll look across here, and you're going to see some of these that don't have bars on that. That's because the data didn't exist. When you look at AP42, you've got AP42 that has combined lint cleaners, but they don't have those lint cleaners broken out, which is an issue. The other thing that you ought to look at here, if I've got a first and second stage lint cleaner, typically adding those two emission factors together is going to be lower than if I have a combined lint cleaner. That's one of the things that we're going to have to address with our advisory groups. Future work, I'd like to say that we're done with this stuff, but we got another 17 pubs that we're hoping to kick out here in this first quarter. We've got these summary manuscripts that we've got to get out this first quarter, plus the technical reports. And then we've got to get these extension fact sheets out. One of the things that this is a unique deal because they want refereed journal articles, so we're doing that. They also want technical reports that have your raw data in it, and we're doing that as well. The other things that we're finding that folks want is they want a 2-4-page summary document. They want to have that summary document so that they can use it whenever they need to. If they need backup, they want to be able to go to the refereed journal articles or the technical reports. So we have some pretty lofty goals for this coming year. again, financial support from many different agencies. I went through that one pretty quick because I know I went over on the first one. Does anybody have any questions, comments, willingness to help put fact sheets together?